I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison, here 2 hours a day, 9 to 11 o'clock, bringing you news, topics that I don't think you'll get anywhere else. Today is certainly going to be no exception of that. We're going to talk a little bit about some economic stuff. I'll tell you the truth. I think I've got an idea. All of the messaging coming out of the Biden administration, anybody in any level of power always telling you, oh, it's going to be okay, the Biden administration. I don't have the clip today, but that spokeshole, that horrific spokeshole that Joe Biden has, said they've created, since Biden came in office, 10,000 million jobs. That's a few jobs for everybody on the planet. But with them saying that everything's going to be fine, with the Federal Reserve telling you, oh, they're going to take care of inflation, they can still orchestrate a soft landing, they're just flat-out lying to you. I believe they're panicking, and I got very nervous and a little agitated. Nervous, I guess, is a good word, when I started looking at some of the economic numbers. And this is where I say no one else is going to talk about this stuff. It may be because it's radio lead, not radio gold, but I believe it's stuff that needs to be talked about. We're going to talk a little bit about the bond market and what's been happening there. And I'll explain to you why our fate is sealed. This is endgame. Now, it does not mean, it's not doom and gloom for everybody out there. People make vast fortunes in downturns. Recessions and depressions are needed when you allow your government and your central bank to create artificial booms. And then if your guy's in charge, you talk about it being the greatest economy ever. Joe Biden's doing it now. Donald Trump did it for 4 years. Barack Obama did it for 8 years. They always tell you that they're responsible for this great boom. Pay no attention to the endless debt and money printing that is going into creating these great booms. So downturns are needed, but I think we're in for a doozy. And I'm going to give you some math. I'm going to show you exactly what the problem is in some real world terms that I think people will understand. So we'll get to that in just a little bit. Quotes of the day today. This is a repeated one, but it came across my eye line, and I figured I'd do it again. This is William Blum. He is a former U.S. State Department employee, William Blum. He said, no matter how paranoid or conspiracy-minded you are, what the government is actually doing is worse than you can imagine. I added a word there. Let me redo this. No matter how paranoid or conspiracy-minded you are, what the government is actually doing is worse than you imagine. That's a former State Department. I've called that the evilest institution on planet Earth, is the U.S. State Department. H.L. Mencken said, the men the American people admire most extravagantly are the most daring liars. The men they detest most violently are those who try to tell them the truth. Isn't that the case? Isn't that the case? This was a piece written by Tho Bishop. He is with the Mises Institute. I've actually got a couple of things from them today. This is an Austrian economics group. I know. Stop yawning. Austrian economics is what created the United States. Got it to leapfrog over much older countries, and then we decided to abandon it, essentially around the turn of the century, particularly after World War II, where we allowed the central bank to take the lead and everything. But anyway, Mises Institute said the regime's most powerful tool, and this is good news to a degree, It's going to be ugly, but it could be good. The regime's most powerful tool, a federal uniparty that fights on Sunday news shows but works together and socializes the real world, is fraying fast. As Murray Rothbard noted in Anatomy of the State, as a side note, that's something everybody should read, Murray Rothbard's Anatomy of the State, to understand exactly what government is. As Murray Rothbard noted in Anatomy of the state needs more than guns and bureaucrats to thrive. It needs the implicit consent of the people. Thanks to Joe Biden and his friends in both political parties, instead, tens of millions of Americans are growing increasingly comfortable considering themselves enemies of the state. That's Tho Bishop at the Mises Institute. But Gary Barnett is probably, it's certainly maybe a little bit more accurate. Gary D. Barnett wrote this. He said, the most prolific liars, thieves, and murderers are politicians and those who control them. Actually, the entirety of all politics is criminal and ridiculously asinine. With that said, the population at large in this country, whether they participate in the idiocy of voting or not, accept the premise that politics and government are a necessity for life and that humanity has not any ability to function properly without a government force ruling over them. In simple terms, what this means is that almost the totality of the entire populace has accepted a master and slave relationship that requires extreme force in order to exist and survive. Under these conditions, freedom is an impossibility that cannot ever be achieved. And he's dead on right. The majority of the populace believes in government when their side runs things, and all they want to do when the other side runs things is restore all of that power of a huge government, regardless of where it is. There's people calling for the cities to get more involved in things, the state to get more involved in things, the federal government to get involved in things, because if it weren't for them, we'd all just be sitting around. No roads, no bridges. We'd never be able to figure that out on our own. The vast majority of people are just wrestling for control over a huge government instead of understanding it's the problem in the first place. I'll tell you what, I'll take a quick break, and we're going to start taking a look at some of this economic stuff. This past couple of days, the news came out that the CFO, the chief financial officer of Bed Bath & Beyond, had committed suicide. He jumped from a skyscraper to his death, and this may be the first of what could be many skyscraper swan dives into a collapsing economy. This might be kind of the beginning of a trend. If you ever have studied things about the Great Depression, this was one of the things known to have happened, is that people, as they became insolvent, started leaping from the windows in New York City and on Wall Street. Bed Bath & Beyond CFO, ridiculously, I mean, unless they find out that he was involved in some real criminality, and we know, you know, prior to the 2008 crisis, a lot of fraud was uncovered. After the year 2000, a whole lot of fraud was uncovered, and certainly going into 2008 as well. So I don't know if he was knew something bad was about to happen with him. It's hard to believe. Bed Bath & Beyond is on the verge of bankruptcy. They're closing stores. They've got big problems. These are the kinds of retailers that have big problems when you have an economic contraction. A lot of things at Bed Bath & Beyond are a lot of fun to go in there and get if you're shopping for a new home or looking to spruce things up. But when money gets tight, Bed Bath & Beyond products, I'm sure, become some of the first casualties of people's shrinking pocketbooks. So anyway, we've seen the first one of these things. It may not be the last. I've got a very interesting thread of people who have been commenting on Wall Street Bets, if you remember this. If you remember the GameStop, we talked a lot about it here on the show. It was very interesting, where people basically got on a message board on Reddit and started pumping up stocks, having huge returns. Everybody's a genius in a rising stock market. A lot of people back in the late 1990s became day traders. And then we had a bear market. A lot of people in 2004, 2005, 2006 were expert house flippers. They were going out and buying multiple properties. And then we had a downturn in the real estate market. And once again, We have had this incredible bull run in the stock market propped up and fed exclusively by newly printed dollars, not because of productivity of our economy, but just because money was sloshing around it. So a bunch more people thought they were genius day traders again, people quitting their jobs just to trade some of these stocks. I ran across a thread from Reddit and the Wall Street Bets where these people were congregating to talk about these things. Let's see how it's going now. We'll do that when we come back. We talked a lot during the Wall Street Bets. This was a Reddit message board where people got together and they started trading and running up stocks like GameStop, heavily shorted stocks by the big financial oligarchs. Basically, they started running these stocks up, hurting the big banks, hurting some of the investment funds that really have got a lock on the system. When you've got high-frequency trading programs that some of the big banking institutions use, people with access to all this newly printed Fed money for years and years and years, they built out huge infrastructure, and you've got places like J.P. Morgan with these high-frequency trading programs. And I know at one point there was something like, 4 years of investment returns looked at, and because of the use of these highly technical, very expensive systems, they were able to make money on something like, I'm just going to kind of pull this number out of the air, but it's accurate in its intent. You know, out of 389 trading days, they made money on 388 of them. They only lost money on one trading day. And this is obviously not normal. Most people can't do this, but because the big banks and the financial oligarchs in this country have had access to all of this printed cash, they've set up systems to game the system for themselves. So when a ragtag bunch of normie investors out there started taking their stimmy checks, there's a million things wrong with the story, but started taking their stimmy checks and speculating on stocks, and you saw GameStop stock go from $5 a share up to $350 a share, which crushed some of the big financial institutions that had their sights set on taking GameStop out. It was very interesting to see. It was kind of a small rebellion by the little people against Wall Street. It was very interesting. The problem is, how many of those people actually, when they made this money, sold out? These things happen. Suddenly greed takes over. I know people who were day trading in the late 1990s heading into 2000 because, again, the Fed was printing up money. We were spending too much. This money printing has been going on for a long time, not as bad as it has been over the last 12 years, but it's been going on. We had the internet. There's a lot of speculation on internet stocks. So people were quitting their jobs to go become day traders. I know a family, a fairly wealthy family, that took a huge, huge hit when the market turned against them, because everybody's a genius. They feel like they're a genius when the market's going up. And when you've got a Federal Reserve printing money and basically shoving it into the market, it's not hard to get positive returns. The problem is when they reverse course, what's left? And what happens with a lot of people, and they'll hit a home run and they suddenly think, I'm a genius. Dave Portnoy was one of these people. He was the Barstool Sports guy. Nothing against him, but he started I don't know if he was on Twitter or Instagram. I don't know these social media platforms, but he got quite a following because he was kind of involved in this Wall Street Bets things. As the market was being pumped up by Fed bucks, he was investing. He had recently sold Barstool Sports for tens of millions of dollars and was using some of that, and it was just having great success, and he came across as this genius. Look at this. I'm putting it to Wall Street. Well, he's not a thing anymore because if you haven't noticed, the market's been having a much more difficult 2022 as the Fed announces that they're not going to be printing as much money. They're still printing money, just not as much. Anyway, greed gets a hold of people. It got a hold of people back in the 2008 crisis. They bought a house. Suddenly they saw the value go up. They sold it. They said, I'm a real estate genius. I'm going to buy three homes. And we saw this across the country. I remember watching these shows, these home flipping shows. And my wife at the time, I turned to her and said, we need to sell our house. This is not going to end well. This was in about 2004. I was painfully early, unfortunately, but I saw what was coming. You had people that were janitors in L.A. buying three homes, three investment properties. And we know a lot of people lost a tremendous amount of money and homes during the financial crisis when real estate turned down. Ran across this thread, and this is sad to me. I take no joy in this whatsoever, but this is what happens, and we're going to get into. Look, if you listen to me, you may spare yourself some of this fate. Wall Street Bets, I guess, is still a Reddit board. These were some posts from Friday. No need to use any names or even any handles or anything. This is a chart of somebody. It shows their investing account. Their investing account is down $28,798.28, or 99.89%. So when they started investing, they have lost 99.89% of their money. Their current account balance is $31.25. The headline to this, the poster says, parents don't know that this is what I did with my college funds. Went from 28,800 something down to $31.25. Here's another one. Wife doesn't know. We have a newborn and I just bought a condo in the Bay Area. This is all of our savings. It shows that he's down 65%. And still has $26,372.54. But that is down $49,000. Wife doesn't know, newborn, just bought a new condo, and they've lost 65% of their savings. Here's another one. Wife is going to kill me. The chart shows their investment is currently at $18,693, down $70,513, or down 79%. Wife is going to kill me. This is an incredibly sad one. Wife doesn't know. I keep getting personal loans. Current investment account for this poster is $391.47, down $41,497.56, or 99.07%. It's not just the dudes. Here's one that says, don't tell my husband. Their investment portfolio currently stands at $1,975, down $14,059, or down 87.68%. And so this is what happens when people get into these systems and believe that they are geniuses. The stimmy checks are flowing, the Fed is pumping the markets, and then when the Fed puts on the brakes, little people just don't understand what that means. And so they do not get out. They do not get out. People are doing that right now. Well, we just had Labor Day. Hope everybody had a good Labor Day. Some of you are doing a lot of labor in our current economy. We had a jobs report come out last week, and this is the third month we've reported on this particular little snippet of the recent jobs report. As the White House, the Biden administration, and that horrific spokesperson come out and tell you that everything is going great. She said, we've created 10,000 million jobs. We've got a nine-year-old. The mental acuity of a nine-year-old speaking for the White House, of course, the White House occupant, weekend at Biden's, he has got the mental faculties of about a four-year-old, so I guess he has hired up. But as they tell you that everything's going great, digging deeper, this is into the jobs report from last week, we find that the latest overdue jump in household survey employment was entirely the result of rising part-time jobs, which surged by 413,000 in August, while full-time jobs declined by 242,000. More ominously, if one extends this data, we find that since March, the U.S. has lost 383,000 higher-paying full-time employees while gaining 335,000 low-paid part-time employees. It says this is a time period over which the establishment survey claims, without a breakdown in job quality, that 1.9 million total jobs have been added. That's the White House. There's two numbers. There's the establishment survey and the household survey. The establishment survey goes to employers. They do all their hocus-pocus to manipulate the statistics, and they give you these numbers on job creation. The household survey is where they actually get on the phone and they start calling people. Hey, how's everything going at your house? Did you get a new job? Did you get a better job? Did you get a raise? Did you get fired? Did you taking on a part-time job? But then this is the thing that keeps on popping up over the last couple of months, is that in order to keep pace, people are taking on second and third jobs. So when you see these job creation numbers touted by the White House, by CNBC, by the financial community as being this great news for the economy, think again, even more remarkable, the number of multiple job holders whose primary and secondary jobs are both full-time just hit another record high. Hardly the sign of a strong job market. People are taking on two full-time jobs just to keep their heads above water, and that's not even particularly working. We got new statistics on this as well. Credit card debt. Where is it here? Credit card debt has hit another all-time high. I'm sorry, I'm back down here. I don't have the figure right in front of me here. Credit card debt in order to keep people. So people are working two full-time jobs and putting things on credit cards. Hopefully this gets them through to what they believe is just a short inflationary event. I'm here to tell you that's not the case. And when I come back, I'm going to explain to you. I'll be honest with you. I study a lot of this stuff. I'm an economics nerd, self-admitted for years here. I've kind of maybe even bored people with talk about the Federal Reserve and the economy, particularly during Donald Trump's term, as he was touting the greatest economy in the history of the world. I was that turd in the punch bowl that was standing here saying, I don't know if anybody's noticing, but we're racking up a whole lot of debt for a time that is supposed to be so prosperous. I was pointing out the other side of the balance sheet. Not very popular thing to do, but it was dealing with reality. So I kind of live in this world of economics. I don't understand it all either. I still have to refresh. The overnight repo market, something's going on pretty funky with it, but I don't totally understand it and what it exactly means. But there is some rattling. There are concerning noises. If you're driving down the road and you start hearing a sound from your car, you realize that's not normal. Maybe you get a slight shudder in your steering wheel and you start thinking to yourself, uh-oh. That's the feeling that I got when I was looking at what's happening in the bond market, in the debt markets here in the U.S., and this is happening worldwide right now. Now, people don't understand this, but the debt market is orders of magnitude larger than the sexier stock market. The bond market, the debt market, is where our economies lie now. It's all based on debt. The steering wheel is shuddering. I'm going to give you some statistics. I'm going to show you. I'm going to explain to you why, when the Federal Reserve says they are going to tame inflation, they can't. They cannot. And I'll show you the math of why I come to that conclusion when we come back. Stick around. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Nobody's talking about this, not anywhere on conservative talk radio, and I think that's criminal because this allows the people who continue to take us through this boom and bust cycle, which really, it hurts people. And a lot of people want to talk about the disappearing middle class in this country but don't understand what causes it. Wouldn't it be nice if we stopped the politicians that you people, not me, you people keep supporting, if you stopped them from enacting policies and facilitating organizations like the Federal Reserve from doing the thing that is destroying the middle class? Wouldn't that be nice if we actually had an education in this stuff? I'm going to explain to you exactly what's going on now. And I'm telling you, I'll watch some kind of doom and gloom. It's not doom and gloom stuff. It's reality. I'll watch financial commentators who are not on CNBC, that are not in the White House, any White House, Republican or Democrat, as they always tell you, we got it under control. We've never seen so much prosperity. Joe Biden is looking into a camera these days and talking about the great economy we're having right now. Nobody's buying it, but they always say it. Because the White House is always occupied by a narcissist who wants you to believe that they're the latest and the greatest. The Fed cannot raise interest rates to tame inflation. And I'll show you why. They're going to tell you that they can. Jerome Powell, the head of the Federal Reserve, came out and said, hey, we're going to do this, and we're going to do it probably longer than people think. And this has spooked Wall Street. The stock market's been going down, had about a 1,000-point dive on the Dow the day he made this announcement. He's either bluffing or lying, or he's scared to death of what's about to happen, so he's just a deer in the headlights. Now, Jerome Powell's only been there for a certain period of time. Trump put him in. But he has just carried on the horrific work of Janet Yellen and Ben Bernanke and Alan Greenspan, all of the Federal Reserve chiefs. But I'll show you why they cannot raise interest rates. And what this means to you and to your family is that inflation is here to stay and you ain't seen nothing yet. The bond market is not talked about. It's boring, and it has been really kind of deliberately boring for a long time. The bond market typically should be boring. Because in a normal functioning economy, bonds don't really move around that much. You know, you loan somebody some amount of money for a period of time. They tell you how much they're going to pay you in interest each year, and you ride that bond out. The bond and debt markets are huge, and you know that because everybody's taking on debt. Governments are taking on debt. The way they fund this debt is to issue bonds, which are basically IOUs. But the bond market is not being boring these days. As a matter of fact, it was so exciting I had to stop watching financial commentators because I started getting an icky feeling, and I didn't want to watch it anymore. Let me tell you what's been happening with bond rates. This is not usual. It's not normal, and I believe it is a sign that bad things are coming. There's the federal government here in the United States issues all kinds of duration of bonds. And when I talk about duration, it's a period of time in which they borrow the money and they're going to pay it back. I believe there's some 2-week bills. I was a financial advisor. I knew all this stuff when I passed my Series 7 exam. I don't remember all exactly every denomination, but there's 2 week, there's a month, there's 3 month, there's 6 month, there's a year, there's 5 years, there's 10 years, there's 3 years, there's 2 years. They issue all of these things with differing maturities out there. Let me tell you about the bond market is inverted, meaning that some of the, you would think if Fred, your friend Fred, came up and said, hey, I need to borrow $1,000, but I'll pay it back to you in 2 weeks. You're not going to charge him a lot of interest on that, right? And he's good for it. But if he says, I need to borrow $1,000, but it's going to take me 5 years to pay you back, well, you want a return on that money because you don't have that $1,000 for 5 years. He's going to have to pay you a little something for that kind of carry, right? So typically, short-term interest rates are very low, and long-term interest rates are much higher. What we have right now is short-term interest rates are extremely elevated. And they're inverted. Some very, very short-term interest rates are actually higher in six-month yields, are higher than the 10-year. People are demanding more money in interest to loan money to the government for 6 months than 10 years. This is odd. This is not the way it's supposed to work. But let me tell you how much this bond market has moved, and this is not normal. And I'll tell you why this is concerning and why the Federal Reserve will have to retreat from fighting inflation, start trying to cut interest rates, print more money, and this is going to make inflation significantly worse here in the United States. The one-month note, this is a one-month note where the government, you buy this note from the government, you loan them $1,000, they pay you back in a month. At the beginning of the year, the interest rate on the one-month note was 0.06%. 0.06%. Right now, as of Saturday, I think when I put this together, that rate is 2%, 2.49%. It has gone from 0.06% to 2.49%. That is a 41 times as high interest rate. Understand, that means the government now, for every one-month note it puts out, it is now paying 41 times as much interest as it did at the very beginning of 2022, just this year. That's not normal, but you can imagine what this can do to a government if you have to pay 41 times as much interest to borrow some money. Here's the six-month note. That was the 1 month. This is the six-month. On December 31st of last year, the interest rate that the federal government had to pay on a six-month note was 0.19%, about a fifth of 1%. Today, 3.27%. The interest that the government has to pay to borrow money for 6 months went from 0.19% to 3.27% in the matter of about 8 months. So imagine the U.S. government has $1 trillion that it needs to raise to fund this behemoth, this evil empire that we have. So they go out and they borrow $1 trillion on a six-month note. If they issued these at the beginning of the year, they would have had to pay about $1.9 billion in interest. And actually, these are halved. You know, these interest rates are annualized. So let's say there's two rounds of these, two six-month rounds to get you to a full year. At the beginning of the year, they would have had to pay $1.9 billion in interest. Now, they'd have to pay $32 billion in interest, 16 times more from just 8 months ago for the federal government to borrow $1 trillion in six-month notes. They'd have to pay 16 times more in interest. The one-year bond at the beginning of the year, the one-year bond, the yield on it was, the interest rate the government had to pay was 0.38%. Now, it's 3.47%. A little bit over nine times the interest. So understand that the federal government, can you imagine the hole that this blows into our federal government? If the amount that they have to pay, in context, the government is always churning through things. You can tell if you've got something that, you know, a one-month bond. Well, we don't have any money to just pay off all the people we borrowed money from a month ago. What do we have to do? We have to issue more bonds to pay off the previous bondholders. I believe this is something very similar to, a Ponzi scheme. And so the federal government is always selling bonds of all these different durations. 2 week, 1 month, 6 month, 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 5 year, 10 year, 30 year. They're always out there selling these bonds because they have to in order to pay off the maturing bonds where the bond has run its course. And we don't have any money to pay these off, so we have to issue new bonds. The federal government, the last I saw, I believe this is right, we roll over $90 trillion a year in bonds. Now, that's a total amount. So you can imagine if you had to raise $1 trillion in, say, a one-month note, you'd have to do that 12 times during the course of a year, right? Because the bond only lasts for a month. So January 1st, you sell $1 trillion. You've got to pay that off by February 1st, but you don't have the money. So you've got to do another round of bonds on February 1st to pay off the bonds from January. So you do another trillion, if you understand what I'm saying. It doesn't mean that we have $90 trillion in new debt. It means that with the churn inside the bond market, it's around $90 trillion. Now think about the fact we are issuing $90 trillion of new bonds, and the interest rate on these that we're doing right now are anywhere from 16 to 41 times what they were at the beginning of the year. Can you see how this could be a problem for the federal government? When interest rates were down near zero, where all of these numbers were extremely small because the Federal Reserve manipulated interest rates. For 40 years, we've had declining interest rates. 40 years. It's a 40-year bond market bubble. And so when interest rates were very low, I believe our carrying cost, just the debt, just the interest, excuse me, just the interest we've been paying has been somewhere in the $300 to $400 billion a year. They are taking money from you and your family, this political class that we have decided to throw our lots in with, these two parties. And they're both equally guilty of this. For all of you out there who believe, yeah, it's that dang Joe Biden. The financial meltdown of 2007-2008 was under George W. Bush and Barack Obama. Bill Clinton saw a great boom during his time where there was a bunch of funny money being printed up, and the recession came on George W. Bush's time. Both political parties are responsible for this. So they steal money out of your paycheck. They confiscate what you would typically use in a normal country, in a free country. Let me put it that way. Not normal. Most countries tax. In a really free country, the kind that libertarians like myself dream of and realize is possible, if people would stop being part of the slave mentality class, they confiscate the money that you would use to actually build wealth for you and your family and your heirs. And they are taking that and they're using it just to pay interest on the money that they overspent over decades and decades. It has been $300 to $400 billion a year the last few years. Now interest rates are going up. So that $300 to $400 billion they've been spending on interest on these bonds, now you're seeing rates that are up 16, 41 times. Now it depends on the mix of what bonds they carry the most of. And I couldn't really find a good accurate, I was looking for a pie chart of, you know, how much of the federal debt is in 6-month bonds and how much is in 1 year and 2 year and 5 year and 10 year. I'll be honest with you, I kind of bailed on the whole thing once this thing started creeping me out. This is very dangerous. So what's going to happen? Well, I'll tell you what, I got to take a break. I'll tell you what's going to happen when we come back. And why you will look back on 2022 and the inflation that we have seen so far this year as the good old days. Because the Federal Reserve this time can't fix it. Now, they didn't fix it in 2008-2009, but they were able to push it further down the road. This time they can't. And that's what's so scary to me. I'll finish that when we come back. Look, if you're looking for some bright rays of sunshine, I am just warning you. I'm telling you, this is not normal. Interest rates have risen before, and we've survived it. These are not unprecedented numbers of what the federal government would have to pay to borrow money. The problem is we've never had so much debt. And before, when it got to be a problem for the government or for Wall Street, the Federal Reserve could just cut interest rates again, kick the can down the road. But with the inflation that is swamping the U.S. consumer right now, they can't do that this time. And understand, they have been doing that for 40 years. 40 years. The crutch has been, as soon as any sign of economic downturn comes, the Federal Reserve just cuts rates. Now, this has been spring-loading the inflation that you're seeing now. It's just been building and building and building, and it was bound to happen. I've been talking about it since I came on air. Libertarians have been pointing to this endless government spending as being inflationary for decades. Nobody wanted to listen because they were still able to just keep pushing interest rates down, down, down. But they can't do that anymore. So the federal government's about to run into a big bunch of problems borrowing money that it needs to borrow for all this reckless spending that it does. Both parties. I'm not letting the Republicans and Trump himself, I'm not letting them get away with trillion-dollar deficits while Trump was in office, and Trump calling for negative interest rates. He wanted them below zero, which made things worse. He got his way. If you remember, in 2018, the Fed started raising rates. Might have tamed inflation that we're seeing right now had they continued on that path. Trump was having none of it. He said, no, lower the rates back down. You're hurting my economy. What he was talking about is you're screwing up the ability for us to get more debt so we can pretend we're prosperous. So what the Federal Reserve is going to be forced to do as soon as this, these ballooning interest payments that the government has to make, and it's not just the government, zombie companies. I think I've got a story I'll talk about at the beginning of next hour. A lot of companies are heavily indebted, too. Their interest rates are going up as well. And the Fed can't cut them back down. Now, I say can't. Actually, they can, and I think they probably will. But that will be even worse. I've done whole shows on this. The two bad paths that the Fed and our government have to travel right now. They're trying to tell you they're going to be able to somehow split the middle and have a soft landing. Everything's going to be great. Because they're looking, they're telling you, look, we got 40 years of showing you how we can contain these things. Oh, we'll have a recession maybe sometime next year, but it'll be shallow and short. And most people alive today believe that that's the case because that's all they've ever really known. But the things are different now. They can't do what they're telling you they're going to do because they will blow up the federal government and a lot of companies with it. Be right back. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. We're talking about the bond market and the trap that the Federal Reserve has created itself. And the reason I think this is so important, I've seen rumblings about a convention of states taking place. I think they've got like 19 state legislatures on board with having a convention of states. They need 34, but this is probably the most earnest movement towards this in quite some time. A lot of people are excited about that. A lot of conservatives, a lot of people who call themselves patriots like to see this happen. Like, there's certainly things that need to be changed, particularly strengthening the 10th Amendment, which is power to the states. It's just, I got to tell you, we had a bunch of really smart guys put the original Constitution in its initial amendments. Now, one of the things about the Convention of States, they're talking about repealing the 16th Amendment, which is the income tax. Godspeed on that. I just get very nervous when people of today's day and age are going to get together and start monkeying around with the Constitution, knowing that there's so much corruption out there and so much economic illiteracy out there. Now, most politicians understand what I'm telling you. They just come out to you and lie to you about it. They tell you they can fix it with things that won't actually fix it if you just give them the power, if you just donate to their campaigns. That's what I'm fighting against here. I want to make sure that the blame goes where it belongs when this happens and something is going to happen. We need a financial crisis. We need a lot of this debt to be wiped out. But I got to tell you, this makes me very uneasy. I'm not prepared for this. I'm not prepared enough to guarantee I can spare my children some level of hardship going through this. They're young. They don't have families. They don't have kids. They're nimble. We can batten down the hatches. So I'd rather it happen now than in 5 years. And for all of you out there who have been just licking your chops at your 401k, and you don't want to see your 401k go down. I mean, it's been propped up with phony money. You've been electing people to, you have elected and stood behind people for decades now that created this mess. Don't allow them to point across the aisle and make this a partisan thing where it's their fault. They are equally complicit in this. The Democrats in their welfare state, the Republicans in their warfare state, both parties sold out to Big Pharma. Republicans with the largest entitlement, Medicare Part D, that's just a thorn in my side. I bring it up a lot because I want people to understand Republicans are the ones that gave you the largest entitlement, which is basically free drugs or heavily discounted drugs to seniors. So the U.S. taxpayer, you know, everyone talks about, why should I pay for somebody's college education? Well, you're exactly right. I would say the same thing. Why should I pay for somebody who needs medications when they're older? Shouldn't they have maybe taken care of their health, or they should have saved money to provide? You know, you're all paying for senior citizens' prescriptions at full price to the pharmaceutical companies. Pharmaceutical companies just got, when the prices started getting so high and the middle class was so hollowed out, instead of doing something and introducing more free market stuff into drugs or telling people they can actually be healthy and not need all these drugs, instead what the federal government, with the Republicans in charge of it at the time, said, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. You don't have to lower your prices so people can afford it. We'll just shift it over to the taxpayer and call it Medicare Part D. We'll actually go out and get a bunch of senior citizens to vote for us because we're going to make their drugs cheaper. You'll still lock in your profits because we'll just take it out of the U.S. Treasury instead of out of Nana's pocketbook. Both of these political parties are responsible for this. The Federal Reserve is the Death Star facilitating it all. And I don't know what happens to this radio show, but I will have made sure that people do not fall into this trap of believing that if you just elect more people on your side, you're going to be able to take care of this. You are not. So we're talking about the rapid rise this year in interest rates. Now, obviously, the Federal Reserve's raising rates. This has happened before. The problem is we've never had so much debt. I mean, even down to things like, you know, if Jackson needs to somehow take on debt to fix the water system, they're going to pay somewhere between 16 and 41 times as much in interest to borrow it as they would have at the beginning of this year. Now, I'm not wanting to return to the beginning of this year with zero interest rates because that's what created this mess in the first place. If they had let interest rates be just free market, dictated by the market this whole time, we'd never run into these huge boom-bust cycles where the bust just wipes out huge segments of our population. But we allowed this Federal Reserve to come in 1913, and both political parties have been taking advantage of it ever since. Financial pain is spreading in the junk loan market, showing how interest rate increases are hurting debt-laden companies and worrying investors that a credit crunch looms as the economy slows. Defaults on so-called leveraged loans hit $6 billion in August, the highest monthly total since October of 2020, when pandemic shutdowns hobbled the U.S. economy. This is according to Fitch Ratings. The figure represents a fraction of the sprawling loan market, which doubled over the past decade to about $1.5 trillion, but more defaults are coming, analysts say. Interest rates on the loans that float in lockstep with benchmark interest rates set by the Federal Reserve, the higher the central bank raises rates, the tighter the squeeze on companies that borrowed when rates were close to zero. This is why I'm telling you, they can't raise interest rates enough to tame inflation. They can't do it. The federal government, businesses, and even consumers are so laden in debt that the wave of defaults of seriously higher interest rates like they did back in the 1980s to tame that inflation, it would wipe out the economy. We deserve it. It's what needs to happen. All this excess debt needs to be crushed. It's going to be ugly. Now, on the positive note, I will tell you, we're going to get into something that's going on in Europe right now. They've got it worse than us, particularly in the coming months. Boris Johnson, the air quotes here in the studio, conservative, former Prime Minister of England. He's got some, I got a clip from him. He's got some advice for his people. What a hero. Oh, it's so pathetic. But of course, Ryan McMakin, he's at the Mises Institute, too. And this Mises Institute, this Austrian economics think tank that has been talking about this stuff for decades. I don't know how long the Institute's been around, but people who follow, it's named after Ludwig von Mises. He's an Austrian economist that understands real free markets and understands the bastardization of free markets that the United States has undertaken for the past 100 and 120 years. But Ryan McMakin has written an article that says, if you're just now getting mad at the Fed, you're too late. And boy, is he right. You are too late. And this is my big problem. And why I was so excited, I played the clip. Maybe I should play it again. Steve Bannon got in front of the audience at CPAC and said it's time to end the Federal Reserve. It's probably the first time that institution has been even mentioned at a CPAC conference. Because most of the people who present at CPAC, the conservative politicians, they need that Fed pumping out money for their little projects, for their wars, for their empire, for their corporate bailouts. So their big bank donors do well. And so it's not even mentioned at Republican campaign stuff. This is why I can't stand the Republican Party. They're selling you a bill of goods. Now, there's some of them that are onto it, some Republicans and probably a few Democrats. I don't know. Democrats love their spending so much. They act like, you know, they throw the word free around like somehow God has just provided college. Food just appears on a professor's table. He doesn't actually have to earn any money, so everybody can go to school for free. The Democrats have sold out to this system a long, long time ago, but you would think these conservatives who constantly run under the mantle of fiscal conservative, fiscal responsibility, reduced spending and size of government, yet every single one of them expands. Well, I take that back. It's not every single one of them. There are a few up there who vote against these things. The Thomas Masseys, the Rand Pauls, the Ron Pauls back in the day. But the big names, the ones that get all the money from the RNC, are the ones that will participate in keeping this game going. This is endgame. Now, what do you do? First of all, knowing what's going on, I think, is important, because when this happens, when we have another credit crisis and things start to come apart, this one may be so profound that we have to come up with a different kind of system. Now, they've got one ready for us, central bank digital currencies. It feels like that's right on time. We're going to destroy the dollar and herd everybody into these digital accounts. You'll have an app on your phone. That's where all your money will go. They'll be able to track and trace every single penny. No cash allowed. We should not allow that. That is a red line that Americans should not put up with. But right now, you know, I would just say, and I'm going to tell you in a second, Europe's got it worse than us, so there's that. But, you know, maybe now is not the time to take money out of savings to put in a new kitchen. Sorry, ladies. Or men. Is that sexist? I don't know. You know, you can make changes to your behavior that make you better ready to survive these things. And if nothing happens, if I'm completely wrong, then in a few years you will have sat on this cash and you'll be in a better spot and you can have that kitchen then. Or may not be the time now to go out and get heavily indebted in one of these forerunner type things. You can tell I'm not a hunter, can't you? It's also a time that people should be really focused in on your local economies. And that is not just self-promotion, but promotion of the advertisers here at WYEB. It's real. What we have on this station, supporting this station, are local mom and pop. They provide local jobs. The money that goes into locally owned businesses recirculates through your local economy over and over and over again, as opposed to going to Wally World and spending money where about 68% of it is just sucked right out of the local economy and sent to Wall Street. So support as much as you can your local business owners. Hopefully they are not as heavily levered as some of these big Wall Street organizations, and they can survive these things. A lot of people thrive when there is crisis. They've positioned themselves well. You could be the same way. I believe there's something to be said for having some of your money in real physical gold and silver. It's got a 5,000-year track record of keeping the value of your currency, but I'm not an investment advisor. And boy, have I been wrong on timing, wrong, wronger, and wrongest, and maybe I'm wrong again, but I'm telling you, when I look at the bond market and the crazy moves that it's making right now and understand that there is no way the Federal Reserve can do what it did in the 1980s because of the high levels of debt, the government cannot withstand higher borrowing costs. If we go from $300, $400 billion a year in interest expense to $1 trillion, $2 trillion, $3 trillion just in interest on our debt. Can you even imagine what that does? And how will they fund it? They'll either have to cut off huge amounts of services across the board, which politicians never do. They never cut anything. Or they will ask the Federal Reserve to fill up that hole by printing more money. And if the Federal Reserve prints more money to pay this higher interest expense, guess what happens to you and me? Inflation. That's what's different this time. In 2008, we were weeks, actually days, maybe hours away from the credit markets seizing. Banks were failing. They were afraid to lend to each other because they weren't sure. When you had Lehman Brothers, I think they'd been around for something like 110 years, supposedly one of the rock-solid investment banks on Wall Street. When they went under, all the banks went, uh-oh. If they can go under, who's next? We saw problems with Merrill Lynch. We saw problems with Bank of America. We saw problems at Citigroup. We saw problems with AIG. Had it not been for the Fed printing up hundreds of billions of dollars to bail these companies out, we would have had a severe crisis back in 2008. We should have. Instead, the Federal Reserve printed up a bunch of money and bailed these institutions out. The problem is, this time, they can't do that. Well, they can, but if they do, the inflation that you and I are suffering under right now gets markedly worse. Worse. And eventually, the Federal Reserve does set some interest rates, but eventually they can lose control of interest rates and really have almost no say in it. Because eventually we need other people around the world to loan us money. And if they look around and say, you guys are printing this up like Monopoly money, there is no way in the world I'm loaning you a nickel because you're going to pay me back with cheap dollars, your dollars going through the floor, they will be demanding 10, 20% interest on the money that they loan to us. The Federal Reserve will be basically sidelined in that. So this is going to get ugly. But you can do things yourself to be prepared for it and make it big. The thing is that a lot of people are completely oblivious to this, and maybe that's the best place to be. I'll tell you, I turned off some YouTube videos I was watching, or I had them queued up to hear what some of these smarter financial experts had to say, but I just, in reading the headlines, I was like, I can't do it. I watched a fantastic, well, there was some great football this weekend. Did anybody catch that, who was it? The Ole Miss-Alabama game? Football game up in Oxford? I don't know what year it was. It was on YouTube, but that's what I watched. Because I couldn't deal with this. I needed to take a break. But it's serious stuff. If you know what's going on, if you pull in your reins a little bit right now, try to solidify what you're doing, the financial health of you and your family, you may be able to go out there and pick up other businesses, property, for pennies on the dollar down the road. But if you're out there just wildly spending right now because you believe the Biden administration or the Republican Party that tells you, well, if you just reelect us, if we win the midterms, we're going to take care of it. And if you put Trump back in office in 2024, we'll fix it then. If you believe that stuff and so you just continue stacking debt, buying stuff you don't need, then you may be pretty vulnerable to what's going to happen. I'm going to move on to Europe. You know, it. Haven't you ever kind of been in a bad place in your life, but you've got that one friend where you go, well, at least I'm not him? Well, that may be Europe. So we'll do that. We'll make ourselves feel a little bit better by taking a look across the pond at what European leaders are doing to their people. This is going to lead to civil unrest, maybe the entire fraying of civil society in European nations if they do not take these people running the show over there out of these castles and offices by their hair and throw them into the streets. Because the people running Europe right now are destroying that continent. And their people are about to really suffer, actually even physically suffer, as they may freeze to death this winter because of policies driven by the politicians over there. Unfortunately, unless we get better educated here, this will creep over here as well. That's why we're going to look at Europe first. I'll be right back. I went home with a waitress. The way I always do. How was I to know? She was with the Russians too. Now, today's show is going to be charged with the doom and gloom stuff. Some people have probably already tuned out. I understand it. As I told you, I turned off some of the stuff this weekend. I'll go back and look at it, though, because I know I need to understand what's happening so that we don't make these mistakes again. So hopefully I can somehow explain it to people. But you know, a lot of people will say, well, this is the Great Reset. And I do not argue that point. And what they're doing over in Europe is so deliberate. Here in the United States, for them to have gotten us to this point, stupidity alone does not explain it all. There are a lot of stupid people in our government. There's absolutely no doubt about that. There are stupid people in governments at every level. I mean, you look at the city of Jackson. I'm sure there's some good people working for the city of Jackson, but my interaction with the city, with some business interests I've had there and having to go get permits and stuff, I didn't run across the sharpest knives in the drawer for sure, and they didn't care either. They just wanted a paycheck. They thought I was. They treated me like I was a nuisance trying to do business in the city of Jackson. There is no lack of stupidity within our governments, but what has been created? I did a show last week. It didn't have to be this way. Not at all. We could be an incredibly free and prosperous country right here, still leading the world, the city on the shining hill, or the shining city on the hill, is that what it was? Yeah. We could be those things, but the political class has, they just can't help themselves from stealing from us, confiscating our wealth to entrench their power and prestige. Both parties. And so it didn't have to be this way. What's taking place in Europe is a completely manufactured crisis. And you have to understand how what is taking place in Ukraine is being used in this great reset. I think it's very important. And I'm going to be very fascinated to see, as winter approaches in Europe, if the Europeans have had enough. There's signs that they have. The government over there realizes that they're at the cusp of probably some severe civil disturbances over there. And I've been doing, talking about for the past few weeks, as we saw the citizens storm the palace in Sri Lanka. Now in Iraq, they're dipping in the presidential pool as well. And I'm just wondering, how long does it take for Western governments to also start storming their buildings, taking down their institutions, these massively corrupt institutions? You know, we're so civilized in the Western world. We just don't do it that way. We vote. We have democracy, they say. Well, they've looted what they tell you is democracy. Of course, it has nothing to do with democracy. And democracy is a disaster. That's why the founding fathers didn't give us a democracy. They gave us a republic. But Western civilized society, I think, is about to get much less civilized, particularly in Europe. So we're going to take a look at what's taking place in Europe. And I'm going to play this clip from Boris Johnson just to show you. I mean, I want people to understand, and he is a, air quotes here in the studio, conservative. Turns out he was a absolutely horrible, build back better, green weenie globalist, but he was sold to the British people as a conservative. Now, he was helped Britain get out of the EU in Brexit. I'll give him some credit for that. He didn't stand in the way of the British people saying we want off this EU sinking ship, this huge bureaucracy. But outside of that, I see very little redeeming things about Boris Johnson. But I'm going to play a clip by him. Just shows you the contempt these people, the simple-minded stooges they think that you are. And of course, the left is constantly duping people, promising them free things they have no way to deliver without catastrophe at the end of it, which we're about to live through. But this one with Boris Johnson was actually kind of funny. We need some humor. Be right back. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. This is a planned takedown of Western societies where prosperity has been enjoyed by people. This has been happening for a while, but this is, I guess, the final push. And people need to understand this stuff. I mean, European leaders are as creepy, disgusting, and corrupt as American leaders are, but they tend to be a tad bit honest. We had Emmanuel Macron come out and tell you that the era of abundance is over. People in the Dutch parliament, I played a clip from one of their MPs over there who basically said, for 40 years, you've had it too good. Time to start ratcheting down your expectations out of your quality of life. They're telling you these things straight to your face. People have got to understand that what's taking place in between Russia and Ukraine is part of this. It's not just a conflict between neighbors. It's amazing to me how easy the Russia-Ukraine story is and how willing the political class and our mainstream media is to lie to you about it, couch it in something, you know, just as this singular madman, Vladimir Putin, unprovoked, one day woke up, invaded another nation, he must be thwarted. Essentially, you know, for 30 years, NATO provoked, poked, 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 poked Russia. And then finally, Russia kept saying, these are red lines, this cannot stand, this cannot stand. And then, you know, Ukraine, we overthrow their government, and their new government that we put in starts murdering ethnic Russians in Ukraine. And finally, with all of the weaponry that was flowing into Ukraine being used to murder these citizens and be a threat to Russia as a country, Russia said, well, we can't do this anymore. We've got to go in here and stop this. It's getting too bad. Now, I'll say something that's a little bit less popular. So this is all the demonization of Russia, and the Democrats have gone full-on Russia hysteria now for, you know, decades. They loved them when they were communist. But when they dropped the communist shield, the Democrats turned on Russia and have been telling you everything Russia is bad. Russia's they try to blame all of our problems on Russia. Russia's the bad guy. But I'll just tell you, the Republicans are playing their part, too. Roger Wicker is so excited. He didn't think we had done it fast enough or sent enough when the last $40 billion aid package to Ukraine was authorized a few months ago. He said it should have been done faster. And we need to keep sending them more. Donald Trump also played his part. Donald Trump went and told Europe, you don't need to be buying that Russian natural gas. You don't want to depend on the Russians. And now he's taking a victory lap saying, see, I told you so. I mean, think about this for a second. Trump sends in weapons into Ukraine. He sends weapons in to provoke the Russians. Then the Russians act out and Trump goes, see? See, now you have to sanction them and you can't get your oil and natural gas from them. Now you're dependent on them instead of us. He was basically just talking up his book. He was trying to get U.S. natural gas people more cash, more power. And we've left Europe in the lurch. They're screwed right now. I mean, hardcore screwed. America told you, hey, turn your back on the Russians that are basically your neighbor. We'll provide all the liquid natural gas you need. That's not working out so well. Now, they did turn their back on Russian natural gas in form of sanctions for this aggressive act in Ukraine. Completely unnecessary. They didn't need to do it. What's the result? Listen to what's happening in the UK, and then I'll play this Boris Johnson clip. As many as 6 in 10 British manufacturing businesses are at risk of closure. 60% of manufacturing in Great Britain is at risk of closure. This is from a recent survey. As soaring energy bills and the wider cost of living crisis has owners feeling the squeeze. Last week, U.S. investment bank Goldman Sachs predicted that inflation could rise to an eye-watering 22% in the U.K. next year if the current rise in wholesale energy prices continues as expected. And all they have to do is just remove sanctions from Russia. Russia's turned off the Nord Stream 1 pipeline. They said it was for some maintenance. Then they said there was a leak. And now they've said, I tell you what, we're not going to turn it back on until you remove these sanctions. They have all the leverage. And I'm not surprised at all they're using it. This is Europe consciously, with forethought, provoking Russia into the Ukraine situation, using it then to demonize them further and sanction them. And now they are stuck like Chuck because Russia says, okay, you don't want our gas. We just won't send you our gas. And I'm going to play a clip in just a second. Of course, they're talking about this 22% inflation in UK. Right now, we're running around 17% if they calculated it the same way they did back in the 1980s. We'll hit that 22% and then some with the scenario that I laid out for you in the first hour. But I wanted to play this Boris Johnson clip. He is the so-called conservative leadership. He's got a message for his people on how to weather the coming financial problems, and particularly the energy costs in his country. Now, Boris Johnson is one of the great neocon warmongers when it comes to Russia. He's behind all of these sanctions. He loves them. Now, I would imagine he still lives in incredible comfort, even though he was taken out of the prime ministership in England. But I would imagine he's not missing a meal. Not too concerned about gas prices. I would imagine the temperature in his home is cool when it needs to be cool and warm when it needs to be warm. He's not worried about it, but he does have a message for the commoners out there.
If you have an old kettle that takes ages to boil, it may cost you £20 to replace it. But if you get a new one, you'll save £10 a year for every year on your £10 a year every year on your electricity bill.
Good Lord. Go out and just get a new kettle, you dummies. It'll cost you £20, but you'll save £10 a year in electricity. They have had their electric prices over there double at least once, and I think they're set by January to double again, which I guess would be a, what's that, a 300% increase in their energy costs over there. He's trying to tell his people, yeah, just go out and get yourself a new kettle. You'll save 10 pounds a year, less than a pound a month. This is the class of people. And this is a conservative. Those are liberals. Macron is a liberal. He's the one that says the era of abundance is over. There's a left-wing guy in Denmark talking about you've lived too good for 40 years, plebes. It's time to pay the price. But this is Boris Johnson. Just go out and get yourself a new kettle. You'll save 10 pounds a year. He's not talking about weight. You understand that's the British currency. You'll save 10 bucks a year. Oh, you'll have to invest $20 in that new kettle today, but you'll save 10 in the third year? That's just like pocketing $10. In 2025, you'll be $10 richer if you listen to Boris Johnson. You're still going to be cold as hell because of people like Boris Johnson, but you'll have that extra tenner. 60% of the manufacturing over there at risk of going under. This is a completely manufactured crisis, by these people in Europe and also people here, both in the Biden administration and, unfortunately, in the Trump administration when it comes to the demonization of Russia, the endless sanctions, and the attacks on the gas pipelines between Russia and Europe. I'll go ahead and play this. This is almost a funny clip. The Europeans are still acting like they've got some kind of juice, like they've got some kind of leverage. They are literally at risk of freezing to death come this winter. And it's because, you know, people won't be able to afford these energy bills. And see, they're in the same spot, too. So what you would think is, well, what they'll do is they can just get the European Central Bank or the central banks of these countries can start printing up some money and just shipping it out to the people to help them pay their power bills. What does that do when they print up more money for something like that? It causes anyone, more inflation. See, they can't bail their people out either. Central banks around the world have created this mess, and they're all in the same trap. Now, we're in the trappiest of all the traps because we are the kings of debt here in this country. Not a good place to be when there is a debt crisis. But Europe has done the exact same thing. This is Russia. This is the EU talking about what they're going to.
It could be a dark.
Talking about what they're going to demand of Russia. I got to tell you, Vladimir Putin, I'm sure he's a thug, But boys, he has played this so well. He really has played this well. I'm not in favor of Ukrainians dying. Unfortunately, they have leadership in Ukraine that they're paying the price for, just like people in the United States are about to pay a price for the leadership we've had in this country. People of Europe are about to pay a significant price for the people that they have installed above themselves in Europe. The people of Ukraine are suffering because they allowed this Zelensky character, the Nazi element of their government, to come in to become a pawn of Western countries. All these politicians in Ukraine, it's a known money laundering organization. They're going to get massively wealthy and they'll bug out while Ukrainians burn. I'm not in favor of what is taking place in Ukraine right now by any stretch of the imagination. I'm an anti-war guy. But Vladimir Putin is in the catbird seat, and it is hilarious to listen to the Europeans basically issue ultimatums to the person that holds their fate in his hands.
It could be a dark, cold winter as Russian energy giant Gazprom cuts a major gas supply route to Europe. The Nord Stream 1 pipeline was due to reopen after 3 days of maintenance work. However, the company says the taps will remain off due to a technical issue. As the bloc scrambles to reduce its dependency on Russian energy, the Group of Seven have pledged to impose a price cap on Russian oil.
Okay, so what that means is here's what the Group of Seven, basically they're telling Russia, we're not paying anything more than X for your natural gas. We're setting some price caps. And they went around a couple of months ago and they said, hey, everybody, we're all going to get together. If you agree not to pay Russia more than this, we'll agree not to pay more than this, and we'll set this cap and we'll force them to sell us their natural gas at this lower cost. That's what these people did. And basically Putin is looking at him going, I'm good. I'm good. Even during the news break just a little while ago, they talked about the fact that Russia has sent out a ton of, I think, coal and natural gas to India and China. I don't know if people know this, but there's a lot of people there, a lot of energy needs in India and China, two of the most populous countries on the face of the earth. Russia's just selling to them. Russia's selling so much to the Chinese that the Chinese are turning around and selling it to the Europeans. Does that sound like an efficient way to do it? A low-cost way? No. The Chinese are just stepping in the middle of it and taking their vig. But it avoids the, air quotes here in the studio, sanctions, because they're buying from China, not from Russia. Of course, it's a Russian product. This is the manufactured, on-purpose mess that they have made over in Europe. And it just cracks me up that they are saying, well, we're not going to pay, like they're in some kind of a bargaining position. Their people are about to freeze to death. At the very least, huge swaths of their economy, their manufacturing, their people. Jobs are going to be lost. Pubs are at risk of closing. Pubs that have been around for 100 years in Great Britain now are suddenly getting $30,000 power bills. I did one the other day. What was it? They were typically spent something like $900 a year on power. Their recent bill was $19,000. So we can't keep this up. Been in the family for decades, for generations. We're going to have to close. So these people are just the pawns in these bureaucrats in the EU and everybody else. And they're just going, we're not going to pay more than this. Russia's just going, okay, that's fine. We'll sell to somebody who'll give us more.
Bid to limit the Kremlin's war chest. Germany's finance minister says this means that marine insurance for Russian oil exports can continue to be provided. But on the condition that Russian oil and oil products are purchased below a certain price. So we want to limit Russia's revenues and reduce the economic damage for our societies.
The economic damage that we inflicted on our own people. Stupidity does not explain this stuff. There's so much stupidity in governments. They do not attract the best and brightest among us because people can do better. The best and brightest can chart their own course and do significantly better for themselves and their families out in the private market. So the government gets people who, maybe they want to phone it in. They like some stability. There's some good people in government. There's no doubt about that. So if you're listening to me and you're a government employee and you think you're a good person, you go on thinking that. It's all the other people in government that are bad. But, you know, these governments, they think they have some bargaining power. It really kind of cracks me up. But I guess Boris Johnson tells you, just sit back. We'll take care of it. And if you take his advice, you'll have $10 more in your pocket in 2025. These people running governments in the Western world hate you. They hate you. Joe Biden's speech was just the mask coming off of that to just say directly to your face, we hate you. We're coming after you. They've been coming after you for years. It's kind of funny. We got a don't tread on me flag here in the studio. I was looking at it as I was kind of pacing through the studio during the last break. Americans might as well have taken that don't tread on me flag and made it into a welcome mat for the government for the past 100 years. Don't tread on me. Might as well have been a welcome mat. We've allowed this overreach of government and these people to control our lives to such a degree. I'll be right back. All right, only got a couple minutes left in the hour. We're going to be finished with the show for today. So much for Tech Tuesday. I had some stuff, but this other stuff is so much more important. Peter Schiff, you want to talk about something that you can do maybe in a time of financial crisis? Peter Schiff is an Austrian economist, and he's an investment advisor. He's got some funds of his own. He does very well in crisis. He certainly did very well in 2008, 2009 when everything else was tanking. Maybe start getting familiar with Peter Schiff. He's got a podcast. I played a clip from it the other day. Turned out he was wrong about something that I played. But anyway, he's a very, very smart guy. He made a point about Biden's speech the other day that I thought was very interesting. And you know, kind of finish up the show talking about these governments and how much we've allowed this abuse to exist for so long. and now that feels like they're taking the system down. And he was talking about, you know, the horrific Joe Biden speech of last week, and particularly that he went to, you know, a place, Independence Hall, and did it. And Peter Schiff made up the point that, you know, he was so just disgusted by the fact that this man would go to where the founding fathers were and talk like Joe Biden talks. And he brought up some points about tax rates. So this is Independence Hall, where we separated from the British crown, where we threw off the shackles of the British government because of largely because of taxation on the colonists. And Peter Schiff mentioned, do you know what the tax rate was that the colonists drew a line in the sand on? It was about 1.5%. 1.5%. Now, in Britain at the time, subjects of the crown were paying about 5%. So the colonists here even knew, well, it's significantly less than if we were actually in England. But they're still just coming over here and stealing 1.5% of our money. And they threw off those shackles and started a new nation. We are now in a country with people who even profess to be patriots, admirers of the founding fathers, willingly giving up 30 to 50% of their income. The founding fathers threw off the shackles of the British crown because of a 1.5% tax rate. They also knew that governments would do, and that would continue to go up, so they nipped it in the bud, so to speak. How far we have fallen. Oh, the founding fathers must be so ashamed of what we've allowed to happen to their great experiment. It's all the time I got. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how